friends. We're gathered here today to listen to The Loved One by Evelyn Waugh. And friends, I want you to know that it was adapted for radio by Bill Matthews. Episode 1.
Ah, here at last, Dennis.
Sorry, Mr. Schultz, hope I'm not late.
No, just in time. I've left you a raccoon. Shouldn't take you more than 10 minutes.
Nothing else?
No, but if anything else comes in, just put it straight on ice. I'm off.
The only cruel immortality consumes. I wither slowly in thine arms, here at the quiet limit of the world. Here at the quiet limit of the world. Here.
The happier hunting ground?
This is Theodora Heinkel, Mrs. Walter Heinkel of 207 Theatre Universe, Bel Air. Oh, you must come at once. I can't tell you over the phone. It's my little Arthur. Mistress brought him in. He went out first thing and never came back. But I didn't worry because he's been away like that before. And you know what they're like. I said to Walter, Mr. Heinkel, I said, but Walter, how can I go out to dine when I don't know where Arthur is? And there are dog catchers around every corner.
I will come at once, Mrs. Heinkel. 207 Via Della Rosa, I think you said.
I was on Mr. Lester Scrunch's right hand when they brought me the news. Oh, he and Mr. Heinkel had to help me to the automobile.
I'm coming at once.
You know, I shall never forgive myself as long as I live. To think that he was brought home alone. Alone. Even the maid was out. And, hello, are you there? I said
I'm on my way, Mrs. Heinkel. Goodbye.
I am the happier hunting ground.
Am I glad to see you? This has been a terrible experience for Mrs. Heinkel.
My condolences.
I don't want to see him. I don't want to speak of it.
The happier hunting ground assumes all responsibility.
Yeah, whiskey, Mr. Barlow?
No, thank you. Not while I'm on duty.
I think I will.
I have with me our brochure setting out our unique service. Now, were you thinking of interment or incineration?
Pardon me?
Buried or burned?
Burned, I guess.
I have on my person details of various styles of urn.
The best will be good enough.
Now, would you require a niche in our columbarium, or would you prefer to keep the remains at home?
What you said first.
And the religious rites, we have a pastor who is always pleased to assist.
Oh, well, Mr.
Barlow.
Mr. Barlow, I think on an occasion such as this, Mrs. Heinkel will want all the comfort you can provide.
Well, our Grade A service includes several unique features. At the moment of committal, a white dove symbolizing the deceased soul is liberated over the crematorium.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure Mrs. Heinkel would appreciate the dove.
And every anniversary, a card of remembrance is mailed without further charge. It reads, your little Arthur is thinking of you in heaven today and is wagging his tail.
That's a very beautiful thought, Mr. Barlow. You have certainly relieved me of a great responsibility.
That is the aim of the happier hunting ground. Now, shall I attend to the deceased?
Another Frank?
Thank you, my boy. Not so much soda this time. Yes. I've never regretted the move to Hollywood. The climate suits me. The people are decent and generous. And most of all, they don't expect you to listen. People talk entirely for their own pleasure. Nothing they say is designed to be heard. I said...
Evening, Frank. Evening, Barlow.
Sir Ambrose. What a pleasure.
Another scorcher, eh? Do you mind if I take a pew?
Whiskey?
Excellent. When... Right up with soda, please. So, how are things with you?
Oh, mustn't...
Barlow.
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
We haven't seen you on the cricket field lately. Very busy at Megalow Studios, I suppose.
No, as a matter of fact, my writer's contract expired 3 weeks ago.
did it, by George. Well, I expect you're glad of a rest. I know I should be. If you'll take my advice, just rest easy until something attractive turns up. These fellows out here respect a man who knows his own value.
Of course.
We Limeys have a peculiar position to keep up, you know, Barlow. They may laugh at us sometimes, the way we talk, the way we dress, our monocles. They may consider us cliquey and standoffish, but by God, they respect us. You only meet the finest type of Englishman out here.
Absolutely.
Yes. You know, I often feel like an ambassador, Barlow. It's the responsibility in varying degrees we all share it. You never find an Englishman among the underdogs. Except in England, of course. Out here, there are some jobs an Englishman simply doesn't take.
No, of course not.
Absolutely not.
I don't say poets are much in demand, Barlow, but they're bound to want one for something one day, and when they do, there you'll be, quill in hand. If you haven't done anything to lose their respect in the meantime, that is.
No.
Well, I didn't come here to rabbit on at you, Barlow. I came to see how my old friend Sir Francis is faring. Been meaning to look you up for a long time. It's so rare one socializes outside Bel Air these days. You shouldn't hide yourself away, Frank, you old hermit.
Well, you used to live not so far away.
Did I? Upon my soul, I believe you're right. Just across the street, wasn't it? We were neighbors. You were living...
in Bel Air.
Ah, yes. So how are things for you at Megalo?
Greatly disturbed. We're having trouble with Juanita del Pablo.
The dusky Spanish beauty.
It was her eyes we bought her for originally. She was called Baby Aronson, then from Chicago. Yeah. She had splendid eyes and a fine head of black hair, so we made her Spanish. Had most of her nose cut off and sent her to Mexico for 6 weeks to learn flamenco dancing. And that was the new angle then, and it caught on. And she was really quite good in her way. The scowl came naturally to her. The legs were never a foot as elite, but we kept her in long skirts and used an understudy for the lower half in scenes of violence. She was good for another 10 years' work at least. But now there's been a change of policy at the top. We're only making healthy films to please the League of Decency.
Ah, yes. Healthy films. All for them.
So now Spain is out, and Juanita has to start all over again as an Irish Colleen. They bleached her hair and dyed it vermilion.
Aren't Colleens meant to be dark?
I told them that. But they say vermilion looks better in technicolor. So she's working 10 hours a day learning the brogue. And just to make it harder for the poor girl, they pulled all her teeth out. She never even had to smile before. Now she has to laugh roguishly all hours of the day. I spent weeks trying to find a name to please her. But there are two Maureens already. They're more than enough male cats. No one could pronounce Deirdre, and Una sounds Chinese. So she's nameless, toothless, and well.
Yes, you're quite right. Healthy films. I've always had two principles throughout my life in motion pictures. Never do before the camera what you would not do at home. And never do at home what you would not do in front of the cameras.
Very good.
It wasn't meant to be funny.
Oh, sorry, it sounded as if it should be.
Well, I must be toddling. So long, Frank. I enjoyed our talk. Wish we saw you more often down at the cricket club. Goodbye, my young man, and don't forget what I said. No need to move, either of you. I can find my way.
What do you make of that?
He's heard something.
Well, it was bound to come out.
Yes, I suppose. To think. When the young Ambrose first came here, I was the only knight in Hollywood. Chief scriptwriter of Megalopolitan Pictures, even president of that blessed cricket club. Then along came Abercrombie, bouncing about unnecessarily in his famous series of fatiguing roles, acrobatic, heroic, historic, or whatever. Now English titles abound in Hollywood, several of them authentic.
No, I actually managed to write today. 30 lines. Would you like to read them?
No, no, no. Your efforts would only distress me. And I might be led to question the value of a sacrifice that I at present applaud. You are a published poet. You received a two-column review in the Sunday Times. You, my boy, are the hope of English poetry. The only way I can continue to believe that is never to read your poems. I've served the cause of art enough by allowing you to reside here. And did I not counsel you to leave that studio?
Yes, you did, 1,000 times.
Surely not so often, once or twice when I was in liquor, I think. And my advice to return to Europe was passed up in favor of your present macabre employment. Tell me, do you think you give your employer satisfaction?
My manner is congenial, he told me so. The man before me caused offense by his gusto. Clients find me reverent. It's the combination of melancholy with an English accent, I think.
But what of our fellow expatriates? We cannot expect sympathy from them. What did our late visitor say? There are some jobs an Englishman just doesn't take. Yours, dear boy, is preeminently one of those.
Gentlemen, please, we're wasting time.
Yes, so this Leprechaun, he's the villain, right?
I thought he was the good guy.
No, that's the fairies changeling, right, Sir Francis?
What I don't get is why this Colleen wears no shoes. Yeah. Don't they have no shoe shops in Ireland? No,
Sir Francis?
Well, I'm not sure that's essential to the story.
Story?
I lost it when that banshee came in and wailed the house down. Yeah.
Wasn't that her mother?
Whose?
This girl, what's her name? Colleen.
Well, I thought the point was she didn't have a mother.
Yeah. What? We can't have a film without a mother.
So, guys, what do we think?
No.
At least no one can say I'm surrounded by yes men. Hey, take a week at home, Frank. Try to work on a new slant. Or maybe you feel kind of allergic to the assignment.
No, not at all. This conference has been most helpful. I now know what you gentlemen require, and I'm sure I shall have no further difficulty. Thank you.
Always pleased to look over anything you cook up.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Oh, dear.
Just another has-been.
Yeah. There's a cousin of my wife's just arrived. Maybe you could give him a try out on the job.
Yeah, Sam. Have your wife's cousin look it over.
I see we're both in trouble, my boy.
Yes, perhaps.
Juanita's agent is now trying to find a lawyer who can prove she doesn't exist, and therefore cannot be bound to her contract with me. Their argument is that she's changed her identity, albeit to another that is not her own. In fact, I believe she cannot now remember who she originally was. Yes, my boy, we're both in it.
Oh, I don't know. Schultz put my wages up again today.
In your victory lies your defeat. Your social ruin was consummated by that photo of you in the local paper.
Yes, I was rather pleased with it.
Isn't it illegal to scatter the ashes of a tabby cat out of an aeroplane into the slipstream of Sunset Boulevard?
No, only if the remains are human.
Megalopolitan, how may I help you?
Hello, this is Sir Francis Hinsler. My secretary has failed to arrive to take dictation.
You'll want the administration department putting you through.
No, I don't want administration or personnel or lost and found, to all of which I've been put through already. I want you to tell me what has happened to Miss Mavril Cardato.
One moment. Yes, that's quite an order, Sir Francis. Miss Mavril Cardato has been transferred to the catering department.
Has she? Yes,
transferring you to the catering department.
I don't want the catering department. Look, I must have somebody.
I'm not sure we have anyone available right now.
I see. Well, it's very inconvenient, but I'll have to come there and finish the work in my office. Will you have a car sent for me?
That's transport. Putting you through.
Transport.
Hello, this is Sir Francis Hinsley. I'm coming into the studio. Will you send a car round for me immediately?
Sir Francis Hinsley. Let me see. No.
What do you mean? No. Hello? Hello?
Don't say that. That's not decent.
Excuse me, I want to see Mr. Baumbein. There's a strange man in my office.
1 minute. Mr. Baumbein is in conference right now. Shall I have him call you?
I'll wait.
Up to you. Go on, Alan. and say it again. No, not that. The other. No, I can't say it. Not here. There's someone in the room. Some old guy who's been waiting 45 minutes. No, no, Johnny, I won't. Look.
Carrie.
I gotta go. See you.
Carrie, I'm just... Oh, hi, Frank. Mighty nice of you to look us up. I appreciate that. I really do. Come again, Frank. Come often.
I wanted to talk to you, Otto.
Well, I'm rather busy right now, Frank. I'll say I give you a ring next week sometime.
I've just found all my belongings in the garbage and a Mr. Medici in my office.
Well, why, yes, Frank. Only he says it Medici, like that. Now, you said it sounds kind of like a wop, and Mr. Medici is a very fine young man with a very fine and wonderful record, Frank, who I'd be proud to have you meet.
I've just met him. So where do I work?
All right. No one's told you then.
Told me what?
Well, things get hung up sometimes, as you know. So many different departments have to give their okay. The legal branch, finance, labor disputes section, administration. But I don't anticipate any problems in your case. Luckily, you aren't a union man.
Told me what?
The letter is on its way. You had a record run, just on 25 years, isn't it? And there's not even a provision in your contract for repatriation. Yep, your termination ought to whip right through. No problem at all.
Young Barlow found him.
Barlow of Megalow?
He used to be at Megalow's. His contract wasn't renewed.
Yes, I heard. Shocking business.
A bit before my time, Sir Francis. Does anyone know why he did it?
His contract wasn't renewed either.
Oh.
Hello, chaps. No doubt you've all heard this ghastly business about Frank. He fell on hard times in the end. I suppose I'm the only person left in Hollywood who remembers him in his prime. He did yeoman service.
A scholar and a gentleman.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm. He was one of the first Englishmen of distinction to go into motion pictures. You might say he laid the foundations on which we all have built.
Yes.
He was our first ambassador, as well as the first president of this cricket club.
I really think Megalow might have kept him on. They wouldn't have noticed his salary.
No, it wasn't that. There were other reasons, as you may know. He took in a young Englishman called Dennis Barlow. Barlow came out here with a high reputation as a poet. Yeah. He hasn't made good, I'm afraid. I advised him as bluntly as I could to clear out. I thought it was my duty to you all, and to him. Well, I think most of you know what his answer was.
No.
He took a job at the Pet Cemetery.
And that's why they sacked Sir Francis?
Precisely. I've nothing to say against our American colleagues. They have their standards, that's all. Frank lost face. I will say no more. Now, I've left all the preliminary arrangements in Barlow's hands.
Give him something worthwhile to do.
But this is an occasion when we've all got to rally round.
Yeah. Fly the flag!
That's it.
What?
I called Washington and asked them to send the ambassador to the funeral, but it doesn't seem that they can manage it. I'll try again. It would make a lot of difference. In any case, I don't think the studios will keep away if they know we are solid.
Good morning, sir. Welcome to Whispering Glades Funeral Park. If you'd care to go through the gates, Dr. Kenworthy will welcome you.
Yes, thank you.
The whole night dreamed a dream, and I saw a new earth sacred to happiness. There, amid all that nature and art could offer to elevate the soul of man, I saw the happy resting place of countless loved ones. And I saw the waiting ones who still stood on the brink of that narrow stream that now separated them from those that had gone before. Young and old, they were happy too, happy in beauty. Happy in the certain knowledge that their loved ones were very near, in beauty and happiness such as the earth cannot give. I heard a voice say, "Do this." And behold, I awoke, and in the light and promise of my dream, I made Whispering Glades. Enter, stranger, and be happy. Forever yours, Wilbur Kenworthy, the Dreamer.
Thank you.
Behold, I dreamed a dream, and I saw a...
Excuse me. If you'd like to join the group, follow me toward this perfect replica of an old English manor, which, like all the buildings of Whispering Glades, is constructed throughout with grade-A steel and concrete, with foundations extending into solid rock.
Look, could you just tell me where the mortuary is?
The penultimate resting place of the loved ones is over there by the statue of the Dreamer. As I was saying, the English manor is certified proof against fire, earthquake, and nuclear fission. Your name lives forever in Whispering Glades.
Hello, can I help in any way?
Yes, hello. I've come to arrange about a funeral.
Is it for yourself?
Oh, certainly not, no. Do I look as if I were about to croak?
Sorry?
To die?
Why, no. Only many of our friends like to make before-need arrangements. Now, first I must record the loved one's essential data.
Well, the client's name is, well, was Sir Francis Hinsley.
And your name?
Dennis Barlow.
Now, what had you in mind, Mr. Barlow? Embalmment, it goes without saying. After that, incineration, perhaps. The heat in our crematory is so intense that all inessentials are volatilized. Normal disposition is by inhumant, entombment, inurnment, or immurement, although in sarcophagus mint has become popular.
Well, we want my friend buried.
Buried? What was your loved one's business?
He was a writer.
Ah, then Poet's Corner would be the place for him. We have many of our foremost literary names there, either in person or as before-need reservations. You are no doubt acquainted with the works of Amelia Bergson, author of Wafted by Angels?
Not personally, no.
We sold Miss Bergson a before-need reservation only yesterday under the statue of the prominent Greek poet, Homer. I could put your friend right next to her.
You see, I don't think we could wait for Miss Bergson to die.
Was your loved one of any special religion?
Agnostic.
We have two non-sectarian churches in the park and a number of non-sectarian pastors who will omit references to God if so requested.
I believe Sir Ambrose Abercrombie is planning a special service.
Oh, was your loved one in films, Mr. Barlow? In that case, he ought to be in Shadowland.
I think he would prefer to be with Homer and Miss Bergson.
As you wish. Now, for the leave-taking, I recommend the orchid room and half exposure in the casket. Gentlemen's legs never look so well on the chaise longue.
But I say, I don't think that'll quite do. You see, I've seen him. He's terribly disfigured, you know.
Our cosmeticians have never failed yet, I assure you. We had a loved one last month who was found drowned. Only identified him by his wristwatch. They fixed that stiff.
Stiff?
So he looked like it was his wedding day.
That's terribly comforting.
I'll say it is. Now, I shall hand you over to Miss Thanatogenes, our cosmetician. Miss Thanatogenes!
How many times do I have to tell you, Roger? I can't say it over the phone. I'd have to whisper it in your ear. Yeah, I know the phone is in your ear. 1 minute. Sir Ambrose Abercrombie to see you, Mr. Bombine. Anyway, Clark. Oh, Jimmy. I mean, Roger.
Well, Sir Ambrose, here's mud in your eye.
Yes. Good health. No, Mr. Baumbine, it's about Sir Francis.
Sir Francis. Oh, yeah, the English guy. Now, I'm sure I heard something about him only the other day.
He's dead.
Yeah, that was it.
We were hoping that Megalo might help give him the right send-off.
Well, you know, he's no longer on our payroll. I don't mean to be rude, Sir Ambrose, but Megalopolitan can't afford to associate itself with losers on the scrap heap.
Even when you put them there? After all, his departure from Megalo and his departure from this mortal coil were not entirely unconnected, as the press may well surmise.
Yeah, I see the problem. Yeah, if we're going to snub the guy, we should only snub him in private. Reserve me the front four rows, and I'll provide the men in black suits.
Any chance of one or two stars?
Stars? No. I can get you their stand-in doubles, though. Yeah, Yeah, we could promote press speculation as to who was really there. We could build this into the showbiz funeral of the year.
Well, I don't really.
And there's always Juanita Del Pablo. We could make the climax of the service her moving rendition of Cockles and Muscles. Well, it's the only Irish song she's learned so far.
Mr. Barlow?
What? Why, you're...
I'm the cosmetician.
You're the cosmetician?
Now, what did your loved one pass on from?
Loved one? Oh, he hanged himself.
Was his face much disfigured?
Hideously.
That is quite usual. Mr. Joyboy will deal with that personally. It's a question of touch, you see. Massaging the blood from the congested areas. Mr. Joyboy has very wonderful hands.
And what do you do?
Hair, skin, and nails. Was he a very cheerful old gentleman?
No, rather the reverse.
Then shall I put him down as serene and philosophical or judicial and determined?
I think the former.
It is the most difficult of all expressions to fix, but Mr. Joyboy makes it his specialty. That and the joyful smile for children. Did the loved one wear his own hair?
Yes, he did, yes.
And the normal complexion? We usually classify them as rural, athletic, and scholarly. That is to say, red, brown, and white.
I would say scholarly with a touch of the rural.
Did the loved one pass over with a robe?
Braces, what you would call suspenders.
That should be quite easy to deal with. Sometimes there is a permanent line left. We had a loved one last month who passed over with an electric cord. Even Mr. Joyboy could do nothing with that. We had to wind a scarf right up to the chin.
You have a great regard for Mr. Joyboy, I notice.
He is a true artist. I can say no more. Well, that completes my essential data. It has been a pleasure to make your acquaintance.
And you too, you too, you too. So, do you enjoy your work?
I regard it as a very, very great privilege, Mr. Barlow. Well...
When shall I see you again?
The day after tomorrow. You had better arrive a little before the leave-taking to check that everything is as you wish.
Who shall I ask for?
Just say the cosmetician of the Orchid Room.
No name?
No name is necessary. Goodbye, Mr. Barlow.
Goodbye. Miss Thanatogenous.
Haven't you finished that Great Dane yet, Dennis?
It's taking a little longer than I thought.
Because I got a muskrat waiting.
Quick as I can. Mr. Schultz, could I possibly have some time off to go to Whispering Glades to arrange Sir Francis's funeral?
Arrange a funeral? That's what I pay you to do here. Don't you know there's an outbreak of horse meat poisoning in Pasadena? We're up to here.
But Mr. Schultz, it'll be valuable experience for me.
Experience? I give you experience. Every day more motor cars come off the assembly line onto the roads. Every day more pets go onto the roads and into our icebox. That's all the experience you need to know about.
But I'm picking up all kinds of new ideas there.
New ideas, huh? Do we get people to pay $5,000 for a pet's funeral? How many pay $500, not two in a month? Our clients say, bring him up cheap, Mr. Schultz, just so the city don't have him and make me ashamed. If folks pretend to love their pets, talk to them like they was children. Along comes a citizen in his new auto, floods of tears then. Mr. Schultz, is a headstone socially essential?
I believe you're jealous of Whispering Glades.
Jealous? Why wouldn't I be jealous seeing all that dough spent on relations they've hated all their lives? While their pets who loved them and stood by them, never asked no questions, never complained, gets buried anyhow like they was just animals. Take your time off, Dennis. Only don't expect to be paid for it on account of your thinking up some fancy new ideas.
Good morning, Miss Thanatogenes.
Good morning, Mr. Joyboy.
Here is the strangulated loved one for the Orchid Room.
Sir Francis Hinsley.
Indeed.
Was he a very difficult case, Mr. Joyboy?
He was, but I think everything has turned out satisfactorily, if you'd care to look.
But, Mr. Joyboy, you've given him the radiant childhood smile.
Yes. Don't you like it?
Oh, yes, he's beautiful, but his waiting one did not ask for it.
Miss Thanatogenes, for you, the loved ones just naturally smile.
Oh, Mr. Joy Boy.
It's true. It seems I'm just powerless to prevent it. When I'm working for you, there's something inside me says he's on his way to Miss Thanatogenous, and my fingers take control. Haven't you noticed it?
Well, Mr. Joy Boy, I did remark it only last week. All the loved ones that come from Mr. Joy Boy lately, I said, have the most beautiful smiles.
Oh, all for you, Miss Thanatogenous. All for you.
The happier hunting ground?
Barlow, a word.
Oh, Sir Ambrose, how pleasant to hear from you.
Barlow, I want you to find something suitable from Sir Francis's works for me to read at his graveside. Something from his own writing that gives us the essence of the man, his love of nature and fair play, that sort of thing.
Did Frank love nature or fair play?
I don't think he was against them.
See, I can't remember seeing any of his works at the house.
Find something, Barlow, any personal scrap. I tell you what, if you can't think of anything else, write a poem yourself. After all, that is what you do, isn't it?
Yes, Sir Ambrose, according to my passport.
Everything ready for the funeral, then?
Well, I'm going over to Whispering Glades this afternoon.
Well, I'll leave it all to you then, Barlow.
Thank you.
I have more urgent matters to attend to. The cricket club are debating whether to send a telegram of congratulations to Dennis Compton for his 18 centuries. But there's a rumour flying round that he went to a secondary school.
Oh, heaven forfend.
Miss Thanatogenous.
Mr. Joy Boy, I've finished.
You've certainly brought the color back to his cheeks.
Thank you, Mr. Joy Boy.
I can always trust you to carry out my intention. Did you have any difficulty with the right eyelid?
Just a little.
Tendency to open on the inside corner?
Yes, but I worked a little cream under the lid and then firmed it with number 6.
Oh, excellent. I never have to tell you anything. We work as one. When I send a loved one in to you, Miss Thanatogenous, I feel as though I was speaking to you through him. Do you ever feel that yourself?
I know I'm always specially careful and proud when it's one of yours, Mr. Joy Boy.
I believe you are, Miss Thanatogenous. Bless you.
Excuse me, Mr. Joy Boy, but two loved ones have just arrived.
What are they?
One of them is an infant. Will you be taking her yourself?
Yes, as always. Is it a mother and child?
Let me see. Nope, no relation.
Very well. Mr. Vogel can take the adult.
Okay, Mr. Joy Boy.
Had they been mother and child, Miss Thanatogenous, I would have taken them both, busy though I am. There's something in individual technique. Not everyone would notice it, perhaps, but if I saw a pair that had been embalmed by different hands, I should know at once and feel that the child did not properly belong to its mother, as if they'd been estranged in death. Perhaps I seem whimsical.
You do love children, don't you, Mr. Joy Boy?
Yes, Miss Thanatogenous. There's something in the innocent appeal of a child that brings out the best in me. It's as though I were inspired sometimes from outside or above by something higher and greater than us all.
Dear Guru Brahman, I read your advice column every day in the newspaper, and I hope you can help me with my problem, as you have helped others. I work with a man who is head of the department and in every way the most wonderful character I can imagine. In all sorts of ways, he has made it plain that he prefers me to the other girls, and I admire him greatly. But I do not have the same feelings when I am with him as
the girls say they have when they are with their boys, and what one sees in the movies. But will the feelings perhaps come in time, or will it never be? Or am I perhaps in love and I don't know it yet? Yours in hope, Amy Thanatogenous. That girl's got serious problems.
She does sound awful mixed up, Mr. Slump.
I'm talking about that name, Amy Thanatogenous. She must have been at the back of the queue when they handed them out, right in front of red buttons, and you thought...
You should do something about that cough.
I will, Rhoda, right away. Where's that bottle? See? Instant cure. Right. Take this down. No, A.T., I do not consider that you are in love yet. Esteem for a man's character and admiration of his business ability may form the basis of an improving friendship, but they are not love. Put love in capitals, please. But remember, love comes late to many. We know cases who have only experienced real love after several years and the arrival of Junior. See plenty of your friend. Love may come. I return your hope, Guru Brahman. Type that up and throw a dumbass letter in the garbage.
Oh, Mr. Slump. If only you could talk as well as you dictate.
Get your tickets here for the Lake Island of Innisfree, the most poetic place in Whispering Glades. Get your tickets here for the boat to the island.
One, please.
You're not meeting anybody, then?
Nope.
Only, I've seen no single dames here all afternoon. Mostly, folks come in couples, see? So sometimes a guy has a date and the dame don't show up. Better get the dame before you get the ticket, I guess.
Listen, I have no dame. I have merely come here to write a poem. I thought this might be a good place.
Well, I wouldn't know, Bud. I never wrote a poem. But I hear it's named after a very fancy one. Better come bold.
Thank you.
Yeah. It certainly is a poetic place to be planted in. Cost around $1,000. The poeticest place in the whole of Whispering Glades. Off we go. It's private, see? You don't get animals, like in most cemeteries, on account of it surrounded by water. The Dreamer joked about that once in the Whispering Glades Annual. Most cemeteries, he says, provide a dog's toilet and a cat's motel. So we don't get no animals, though you wouldn't think it to hear some of the noises coming from behind bushes.
I will arise and go now and go to Innisfree. And a small cabin build there, of clay and wattles made. 9 bean rows will I have there, a hive for the honey bee, and live alone in the bee-loud glade. I will arise and go now, and go to Innisfree. There I will sit down and write some poetry.
Bury the great knight with the studio's valediction. Let us bury the great knight who is the arbiter of popular fiction.
Oh, no, it doesn't quite strike the right note.
Take 2. They told me, Francis Hinsley, they told me you were hung with red protruding eyeballs and a black protruding tongue. I wept as I remembered how often you and I had laughed about Los Angeles, and now 'tis here you'll lie. Here, pickled in formaldehyde and painted like a whore. Shrimp pink, incorruptible, not lost nor gone before. Not what Sir Ambrose had in mind, I fear. Oh, hello.
Oh, pardon me. Aren't you the friend of a strangulated loved one in the orchid room?
I am.
I'm afraid my memory's very bad for live faces. I didn't expect to find anyone here.
Well, have I taken your place?
Not really. I mean, it's Mr. Kaiser's place. Not mine or yours.
Mr. Kaiser?
Off Kaiser's Stoneless Peaches. This is his family burial plot. His wife and his aunt are here already.
You come here often?
After work sometimes. It's usually deserted. I'll go some other place.
No, certainly not. I'll go. I only came here to write a poem anyway.
A poem? Did you say a poem?
Yes, you see, I'm a poet.
Why, but I think that's wonderful. I've never seen a live poet before, only dead ones. Did you know Sophie Dalmayer Crump?
No, I can't say I did.
She's in Poet's Corner now. She had very marked soul. You might even say I learned soul from studying Sophie Dalmayer Crump. Now, whenever we have a treatment needing special soul, Mr. Joyboy gives it me.
Would you have me if I passed on?
You'd be difficult. You're the wrong age for soul. It seems to come more naturally in the very young or the very old, but I'd certainly do my best, especially considering you're a poet.
But you have a very poetic occupation here.
Yes, I know. Only sometimes at the end of day, when I'm tired, I feel as if it were all rather ephemeral. I mean, you and Sophie Dalmayer Crump write a poem, and maybe they'll still be reading it in hundreds of years' time. Whereas my work is burned inside a few hours or put unseen into the mausoleum where it deteriorates. You think anything can be great art that is so impermanent?
Yeah, of course, for it lives on in the minds of those who have seen it. As the face of Sir Francis Hinsley I saw this afternoon will certainly live on in mine.
Thank you.
Listen, I'd be awfully interested if you'd tell me about yourself and your work.
Would you? Well, I've always been artistic. I took art as my second subject in college one semester. I'd have taken it as first subject, only Dad lost his money in religion, so I had to learn a trade.
He lost his money in religion?
Yes, the Four Square Gospel. That's why I'm called Amy. After Amy Semple McPherson, you know, the evangelist. Only she disappeared for a week and came back with her clothes all disheveled, so Dad lost his investment.
And his religion, no doubt, too.
But the name kind of stuck. Mother kept forgetting what we changed it to, and then she'd find a new one. Once you start changing a name, you see, there's no reason ever to stop. You always hear one that sounds better.
Hmm. What was your main subject in college?
Beauty craft.
Oh.
Everything you get in a beauty parlor. Permanents, facials, wax, you know.
I'm afraid not. It wasn't studied at my university.
Pity.
Have you worked here long?
Nearly 2 years. But it's only in the last year that I've come to love the work. When Mr. Joyboy arrived, the whole tone of the mortuary became greatly elevated. On his first day, Mr. Joyboy said to one of the morticians, "Mr. Parks, I must ask you to remember you are not at the Happier Hunting Ground."
The Happier Hunting Ground?
I don't suppose you'd have heard of it.
No, I don't believe I have.
It's a dreadful place where they bury animals.
That's not poetic.
They try and do everything the same as us. It seems kind of blasphemous.
Mm. So, what do you think about when you come here alone in the evenings?
Oh, just death and art.
Half in love with easeful death.
What was that you said?
Oh, I was quoting a poem. "For many a time I have been half in love with easeful death. Called him soft names in many a mused rhyme to take into the air my quiet breath. Now more than ever seems it rich to die, to cease upon the midnight with no pain."
Did you write that?
You like it?
Why, it's beautiful. It's just what I've thought so often and haven't been able to say. To make it rich to die, to cease upon the midnight with no pain. That's it. Exactly what Whispering Glades is for, isn't it?
I suppose so.
Oh, I think it's wonderful to be able to write like that. Did you write it when you came here?
Oh, it was written long before.
Well, I guess it's time for me to go.
And I have a poem to finish.
Will you stay and do it here?
No, at home. I'll come with you.
I'd love to see the poem when you finished it.
I'll send it to you.
Amy Thanatogenous is my name. I live quite close, but send it here to Whispering Glades. This is my true home.
If only Sir Francis could have lived to see this turn out, Barlow.
He'd certainly have wondered what we're all doing here.
You're right. Fine, fine turnout. All the Megalo people. Half of Paramount. A quarter of Warner's. And one from RKO hidden behind the pillar.
That chap up front looks just like Spencer Tracy.
That's not surprising.
You mean it is?
No, it's his standing double. He's hoping people will think he's the actor, of course. I hear it's his life's ambition to be mobbed by a bunch of screaming fans.
Well, there's not much chance of that looking like Spencer Tracy.
There's a full assembly present.
Of doubles?
Certainly. Mr. Baumbine of Megalo Studios arranged it. There's Gary Cooper's next to Errol Flynn's.
The one slumped half out of the aisle.
Yes, takes his job a bit too seriously.
Who's that one, doing the second-rate impression of Charles Laughton?
That is Charles Laughton.
Oh, yes, it is.
By the way, Barlow, such a pity you couldn't write me a poem for the occasion. Reciting his unsigned review of Siegfried Sassoon's The Old Huntsman for the Times Literary Supplement of 1917 wasn't quite what I was thinking of.
That goat's been in the oven for nearly an hour now, Mr. Schultz.
Ah, just use the poker to break it up a little. Ay, 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 I tell you, Dennis, it's shameful. We've cremated 6 dogs, 2 cats...
A chicken called Roger.
And a Barbary goat this afternoon. And how many owners are here to pay their last respects? None.
And only Roger gets his own urn.
Well, I'm going along now. Will you wait until they're cold enough to pack up? Put aside the chicken for the columbarium, and the others are for home delivery.
Okay, Mr. Schultz. Oh, what about the goat's card?
Huh?
We can't very well say he's wagging his tail in heaven. Goats don't wag their tails.
They do when they go to the bathroom.
Yes, but it wouldn't look right on the greeting card. They don't purr like cats. They don't sing an orison like birds.
I suppose they just remember.
Your Billy is remembering you in heaven tonight. Thanks, Mr. Schultz. See you tomorrow.
Dennis. Dennis!
What? Oh, hello, Amy.
You were in a dream world.
I was, Amy. The dream world where poetry resides.
I wish I could go there, too. Thank you for that last poem you sent me. I think it's one of your most beautiful. Now sleeps the crimson petal, now the white. I know it by heart. Now folds the lily all her sweetness up and slips into the bosom of the lake. So fold thyself, my dearest thou, and slip into my bosom and be lost in me. It almost sounds like you wanted me to do something unethical, yet in an ethical way, if that were possible.
Oh, I assure you it is.
Not like that other poem you wrote me, to his coy mistress.
I don't see what's unethical. Had we but world enough and time, this coyness, lady, were no crime.
Worms shall try that long-preserved virginity, and your quaint honor turn to dust, and into ashes all my lust. My mother would kill me if she heard me say such things. That is, if she wasn't out east or dead.
No, all I meant was...
Let's not argue about it, Dennis. I mean, you can't write a good poem every day.
No. Listen, I've brought you another one I finished this morning. I hope you like it.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease have all too short a date. Oh, it's so beautiful. Funny, though, it reminds me of something I once learned at school.
Really?
I can't think what it could be.
No,
that's not to say you haven't got a unique style all of your own, Dennis. Haven't you ever thought about getting these poems published?
Well, I somehow feel that other people wouldn't appreciate them in quite the same way you do.
Dear Guru Brahman, I am writing to your newspaper again for advice. You remember I told you about a man I work with whom I admire but do not love, but who loves me. Now I have met another, but he is not at all such an admirable character. He is British, and therefore in many ways quite un-American. I do not mean just his accent and the way he eats, but he is cynical about things which should be sacred. He has no idea of citizenship or social conscience, so what hope is there of true happiness? I should value your advice very highly. Cordially yours, Amy Thanatogenes.
Miss Thanatogenes, I'm anxious to have a word with you.
What is it, Mr. Joyboy?
Miss Thanatogenes, I want you to know how much I appreciate your work.
Thank you, Mr. Joyboy.
I mentioned it yesterday to the dreamer.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Joyboy.
For some time, the dreamer has been looking forward. He always looks forward, Miss Thanatogenes. He considers that the time has come for women to take their rightful place in Whispering Glades. They've proved themselves in the lowlier tasks to be worthy of the higher. Miss Thanatogenes, the dreamer, intends to train a female embalmer, and his choice, his very wise choice, has fallen on you.
Oh, Mr. Joyboy.
Say nothing. I know how you feel. May I tell him you accept?
Oh, Mr. Joyboy.
I'll take that as a yes. It will be my pleasure to acquaint you with the embalming rooms.
Oh, Mr. Joyboy.
And if I may intrude a personal note, I think this calls for a little celebration. Would you do me the honor of taking supper with me at my home this evening?
I don't know what to say. I thought I made a date.
But that was before you heard the news. Besides, Miss Thanatogenes, it was not my intention we should be alone. I claim as my right the very great privilege and pleasure of presenting the First Lady Embalmer of Whispering Glades to my mom. I'll pick you up at 7.
Oh, Mr. Joyboy.
Am I late?
Yes, but I don't mind. Dennis, I'm going to have to break our date tonight. Mr. Joyboy has asked me to supper with his mom.
Two Joyboys at one sitting, that should be fun. I suppose they live up the posh end, not quite Beverly Hills, but hasn't given up trying.
You don't mind? It's just that he wants to celebrate because I'm to be offered a job as an embalmer.
I say, that is something. How much is it worth?
I didn't go into the question of money.
Well, do you suppose it's 100 a week?
Oh, I don't suppose anyone except Mr. Joyboy gets that.
Well, 50 anyway. 50 will do.
For what?
Well, to live on, you and me.
What did you say?
Well, we can get married, don't you see? Won't be less than 50, will it?
But you haven't asked me to marry you. And what makes you think I want to marry you anyway?
Well, it's only the money that can hold us back. Now we'll have enough for two.
For two? An American would despise himself for living off his wife.
Ah, but you see, I'm European.
I think you're entirely contemptible.
Silly. I say, you're not really in a rage, are you? Amy? Amy?
Mr. Slump, here's a telegram for you.
Guru Brahmin, stop. Don't bother to answer letter of morning. Stop. Know my mind now. Stop. Amy Thanatogenes. Thanks, Rhoda.
This is your house?
Yep. All paid for. This is just a little place I got in a hurry to settle Mom when we came west.
Oh, I see.
I never seem to get around to doing anything about the garden. Come on in.
Yoo-hoo, Mom, we're here!
Quiet!
And you remember how we saw the Japs?
Well, this?
We can
sit down quietly till this is over.
Invade Russia, now, before it's too late.
The old lady hits to miss the political commentaries.
I said quietly.
If you want to overrun the garden that is America, is now. Pull them out and burn them!
And while you're doing that, remember to use spongy toilet tissue for extra soft results.
That guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Mom?
I wouldn't use spongy toilet tissue on a cat.
Mom, this is Amy Thanatogenes.
Very well. Supper's in the kitchen. Get it when you like.
Are you hungry, Amy?
No. Yes, I suppose a little.
Well, let's go see what surprise the little old lady's been cooking up for us.
Surprise? It's what you always get. I ain't got the time for surprises. Hey, Sammy, Sammy. Sammy, won't you speak to me?
Why, Mom, you know that parrot hasn't spoken in years.
He speaks plenty while you're away, don't you, my Sammy? See? Well, if I didn't have Sammy to love me, I might as well be dead for the love I get. Ain't that right, Sammy? This ain't how we're used to living, nor where we're used to living. We come from the East, and if anybody had listened to me, that's where we'd be now. We had a color girl in Vermont, came in regular, $15 a week, and glad of it. You can't find no color girls here.
Mom, I'm sure Amy...
Look at that lettuce. There's more things than cheaper things, and I'm telling you, better things where we come from. And even if I did find something worth buying, I couldn't afford to buy it.
Huh. Mom loves a joke.
Joke? Call it a joke to keep house on what I get and visitors coming in. Look what you got there. Tin soup, tin crab. I'd be forced to buy tin salad if they sold it.
Oh, please, Mom.
And in Vermont, the girls work.
Amy works very hard, Mom. I told you.
Nice work, too. I wouldn't let my daughter do it if I had a daughter, which I don't. Where's your mother, child?
She went east. I think she died.
Better dead in the east than alive in the west. You think she died, eh? That's all children care nowadays.
Now, Mom, you've no call to say things like that. You know I care.
I think it's about time for me to go now. Thank you, Mrs. Joyboy.
For what?
I'll see you out. I'd drive you home, only I don't like to leave Mom. The streetcar passes the corner. You'll be all right.
Yes, I'll be all right.
Mom just loved you.
Did she?
Why, yes. I always know. When Mom takes a fancy to people, she treats them natural, same as she treats me.
She certainly treated me natural.
I'll say she did. You made a great impression. Well, goodbye, Amy, if I may call you Amy.
Goodbye, Mr. Joyboy.
Dear Guru Brahman, please ignore the telegram which asked you to ignore the letter which asked you to...
Yes, it's our first in a month now. Quiet!
I'm thinking of getting married, you see. My girl doesn't even know I work here. She's romantic. She wouldn't approve.
Just tell her you can't afford to be romantic on $40 a week. There's no money for a raise at the moment. Now, quiet. The reverend's about to start.
Dog that is born of bitch hath but a short time to live and is full of misery. He cometh up and is cut down like a flower.
Hallelujah!
He fleeth, as it were, a shadow and never continueth in one stay.
Your check, Reverend.
Oh, thank you. I hope we'll do business again soon.
Reverend, how does one become a non-sectarian clergyman?
One has the call.
Yes, of course. But what happens after the call? Is there a non-sectarian bishop who ordains you?
Certainly not. Anyone who has received the call has no need for human intervention.
Well, so all you have to do is decide you're one and then set up shop.
There is considerable outlay, Mr. Barlow.
A friend of mine has the call, Reverend Bartholomew.
Well, I should advise him to think twice before answering it.
Really?
The competition gets hotter every year, especially in L.A.
My friend was thinking of making a speciality of funeral work. He has connections.
Chicken feed, Mr. Barlow. There's more to be made in weddings and christenings.
See, my friend doesn't feel quite the same way about weddings and christenings. Would you say, Reverend Bartholomew, that a non-sectarian clergyman was the social equal of, say, an embalmer?
I certainly would, Mr. Barlow. There is a very deep respect in the American heart for ministers of religion.
And you don't have to believe in anything.
A belief in God is expected, but it's purely optional.
Amy, where are you taking me?
The lover's seat. It's part of the great Whispering Glades tradition the dreamer introduced 2 years ago. Lots of couples come up here.
I'm not sure I want to go where lots of couples go.
Here. We have to wait our turn. All we have to do is kiss on the lover's seat, and we're engaged. It says so on that plaque.
Yeah. According to the tradition of the Glens, lovers who plight their troth on this seat and join their lips through the heart of the Bruce shall have many a canty day with Ain and Nither, and Morn Totter down hand in hand. That's good. I haven't Morn Tottered for ages.
Come on! It's us now!
Thank God I didn't copy any Robert Burns.
What?
Nothing.
Are you on the other side of the throne now, Dennis?
I'm here. Are you ready to read the oath? Mm-hmm. All right. One, two. One, two, three, four. Yeah. Till the seas gang dry, my dear. And the rocks melt wee the sun. I will love thee still, my dear. While the sands of life shall run.
While the sands of life shall run. Now we kiss the window.
I'm game. Well, now we've plighted our truth.
Yes, and we're engaged. I had better write to tell Mr. Joyboy. And the... somewhere else.
Send her our usual letter of congratulation.
But Mr. Slump, she's marrying the wrong one.
Yeah, don't mention that side of it. She might write back.
Dear Guru Brahman, 3 weeks ago, I wrote you that everything was all right, and I had made up my mind and felt happy. But I am still unhappy, more unhappy than I was before. Sometimes my British friend is sweet to me and writes poetry, but often he wants unethical things, and is so cynical when I say, no, we must wait. I begin to doubt whether we shall ever make a real American home. Then there is my career. I was offered a big chance to improve my career, and now no more is said of that. The head of the department is the gentleman I told you of who helps his mother with the housework, and since I got engaged to my British friend and wrote to tell him, he doesn't even speak to me except to tell me what to do. Please help. Amy Thanatogenes.
That's how women are. It just breaks their hearts to let any man go. Next.
Mr. Slump, aren't you going to answer her letter?
Rhoda, my job here is supposed to be to help people, okay? But sometimes you just got to accept. Some people are simply beyond help.
Yeah, I see what you mean. All right, I'll answer it.
Mr. Joyboy.
Miss Thanatogenes.
I was so sad to hear about your mother's parrot dying.
Thank you for your concern. I've just been at the Happier Hunting Ground now, arranging Sammy's interment.
Mr. Joyboy, I'd like to show you this.
What is it?
It's a poem my fiancé wrote. I just wanted you to see how much he feels for me, that his love is true.
Amy, thy beauty is to me like those Nassian barks of yore that gently o'er a perfumed sea the weary, wayworn wanderer bore to his own native shore. Amy, this is a very beautiful thought. The British guy I saw you with on Tuesday, he wrote this?
Yes, he's a very prominent poet in England.
Oh, is that so? I never met one of those before. Is that all he does?
He's studying to be a pastor.
That's so. See here, Amy. If you have any more of his poems, I should greatly appreciate seeing them.
Why, Mr. Joyboy, I didn't know you were one for poems.
Sorrow and disappointment kind of makes a man poetic, I guess.
I've lots of them. I keep them here at Whispering Glades.
You know, Amy, I was at the Knife and Fork Club dinner last night, and I became acquainted with a literary gentleman from Pasadena. I'd like to show these poems to him, and maybe he'd like to help your friend in some way.
Why, Mr. Joyboy, that's real chivalrous of you.
And I was wondering, Amy, Mom doesn't know so many people in this state, and I won't be able to go with her to the funeral because, the vice governor's due to die, and I have to be on call. She certainly would appreciate a friend by her side.
Oh, Mr. Joyboy, of course. I'd be honored to go with her.
Would you? Well, I call that real nice of you. I really do.
They call this a funeral parlor. If my Sammy had realized he'd end up here, he'd have died out east while he still had time.
Oh, I'm sure he's been well looked after, Mrs. Joyboy.
Oh, yeah? And who asked you? Anybody home?
Did Madam call?
Dennis! Where's my Sammy? What have you done with him?
Your parrot is here in the open casket, madam, and on
behalf of the Happier Hunting Ground, may I pass on my heartfelt condolences on your tragic loss?
Oh, yeah?
The Reverend Bartholomew will commence the service as soon as you so desire.
What kind of flowers are those? My Sammy looks more alive than they do.
Madam, before we start, were there any last words?
Yeah, he said... Who's a pretty boy, then?
No, I meant from you.
Of course not. Let's start, shall we?
Parrot that is born of parrot...
What are you doing here?
What about you? Are you related to the deceased?
I am representing Mr. Joyboy.
And I am representing the Happy Hunting Ground.
Now I know why you're so obsessed with my work. You just wanted to copy it.
Oh, I see what you mean. Death imitating art.
Would you mind explaining this unfortunate situation?
What? Oh, the open casket, you mean. I did advise Joyboy against it.
Oh, be quiet! Do you think that all the time, at this place...
Look, accept it, my sweet.
We've both been framed, stitched up a treat by that sanctimonious pest Joy Boy.
Mr. Joy Boy is the most distinguished and dignified man I have ever met.
Oh, dear, it's back to that, is it?
Oh, I don't believe it. Thanatogenous again. Here, Rhoda, what does she say? I don't seem to be able to read this morning. Oh.
She has had a terrible awakening, Mr. Slump. Yeah. The man she thought she loved proves to be a liar and a cheat.
Oh, tell her to go marry the other guy.
That seems to be what she intends doing.
Amy, look here. It's the new edition of The Mortician's Journal. There's a picture of us on page 17.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Best news is, the dreamer has promised to attend our wedding.
I'm so happy, Mr. Joy Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have noticed that the radiant smiles have returned to the loved ones you send to me.
They're smiling for you, Amy. And Amy, best thing is, you don't have to call me Mr. Joy Boy anymore.
Oh, Mr. Joy Boy. I mean...
Ah, the elusive and beauteous nymph is captured eating a nut burger.
Go away. I don't want to see you again.
Well, have you forgotten we're engaged to be married? The day when I shall claim you is nigh.
Oh, I'd rather be dead.
Well, there is that alternative. But let's get this clear. Do you deny that you solemnly swore to marry me?
A girl can change her mind, can't she?
Well, you know, I don't honestly think she can. You made a very solemn promise.
Under false pretenses. All those poems you pretended you wrote for me. All by other people. Some who passed on hundreds of years ago.
So that's what's bothering you, is it?
And that horrible place where you work. I'm going now. I don't want to eat anything.
Well, you chose this place. When I took you out, I never bought you nut burgers, did I?
You never bought me anything. I had to pay for you.
That is by the by, Amy. Listen, you can't walk down the street crying like that. Come on, Amy, let's not have a tiff.
I loathe everything about you.
When I last saw you, we were engaged to be married. I think I'm entitled to some explanation. So far, your only complaint is that I'm not the author of some of the best-known poems in the English language. Well, I ask you, is Joy Boy?
You meant me to think that you wrote them. I shall never believe anything you say again. To think that all the time you were going out with me, you were secretly going to that place.
My dear, you as an American should be the last to despise a man for beginning at the bottom of the ladder. I mean, I can't claim to be as high in the mortuary world as your Mr. Joy Boy, but I am younger, very much better looking, I wear my own teeth. Furthermore, I have a future in the non-sectarian church and expect to be head chaplain at Whispering Glades when Mr. Joy Boy is still swilling out corpses.
Don't you be quiet! You bore me so!
Amy, as your future husband and spiritual director, I must inform you that that is no way to talk to the man you love.
I don't love you.
Till the seas gang dry, my dear.
I haven't the faintest idea what that means.
And the rocks melt be the sun. Well, that's clear enough anyway. I will love. Now, you can't fail to understand that, surely. You can't have forgotten the heart of the Bruce.
Was it Bruce who wrote that poem?
Robert the Bruce? No. Robert Burns? Yes, but names are immaterial.
Well, didn't this Bruce or Burns make some way round his oath?
None that is currently known.
You could release me.
Ah, but I won't.
Not when you know I've quite forgotten you.
Yes, but you haven't.
When you're not there, I can't even remember what you look like. When I turn the corner, I don't think of you at all.
Yes, but I'm always round that corner, my dear. And I'll always be there just for you.
This rendition comes to you by courtesy of Kaiser Stolz Peaches.
Remember, no other peach now marketed is completely stoneless. When you purchase Kaiser's Stoneless Peaches, you are buying full weight of succulent peach flesh and nothing else.
Hello, Mr. Joyboy's resident. Mr. Joyboy speaking.
Please, please come over. I'm worried.
Speak up, honey, baby. I can't quite get you.
No, I'm so miserable.
It just isn't that easy hearing you. Mom got a new bird today, and she's trying to make him talk. Maybe we'd better leave whatever it is and talk about it tomorrow.
But it's about our marriage.
Yes, honey, baby, I kind of guessed it was. Sure, plenty of problems are going to come up. They all look easier in the morning. Take a good sleep, honey, baby.
See you.
Now, I'm going to be firm with you. Just you do what Papa says this minute, or Papa will be real mad at you.
LA Chronicle.
I want to speak to the guru, Brahmin.
Why, he doesn't work evening, sorry.
It's very important. Couldn't you please give me his home number?
Mr. Slump won't be working here after tomorrow, and he wouldn't be at home at this time anyway. You'd best try Mooney's Saloon. That's where he spends most evenings. And most days from now on, I guess.
And his real name is Slump.
That's what he tells me, sister.
Thank you.
And I tell you...
Yeah, you told us.
It's him who's got the biggest problem. Not me. Not all the people who write in. They got no problem compared to his problem. If he thinks I'm incapable of... then it's his problem.
There's a call for you, Mr. Smith. Are you here?
That'll be him now. And if he thinks... Hello!
Mr. Slump?
That you, Mr. Horowitz?
Mr. Slump? I'm Amy Sanatogenus. You remember me?
Oh, sure. This I really need.
Mr. Slump, I am in great distress. I need your advice. Remember the Britisher I told you about?
Here, you listen. I'm done listening.
Hey, get off, bud. It's your call.
Hey, Barman, give me another.
Hello? Mr. Slump? Can you hear me?
Well, sister, what is it?
You heard what I said?
Sure, I heard fine.
Well, what am I to do?
Do? I'll tell you what to do. Just take the elevator to the top floor, find a nice window, and jump out. That's what you can do.
Thank you.
I told her to go take a high jump.
We heard.
Wasn't I right?
You know best, brother.
Oh, for Christ's sake, with a name like that.
Barlow! Barlow, where are you?
Joy Boy, not another parrot dead.
It saved me.
Sorry, I can't bury people, any animals.
You knew it! Then you killed it! You killed my honey baby!
Joy Boy, calm down.
She's dead.
But my fiancé?
My fiancé!
This is no time to quibble. What makes you think she's dead? She was perfectly well at supper time last night.
She's at Whispering Glades in my workshop under a sheet.
Sounds conclusive. You're sure it's her?
Well, of course I'm sure. You think I don't recognize my own fiancé?
No, don't get into that again.
She was poisoned.
Oh, my God, the nut burger.
Cyanide. Self-administered.
This needs thinking about, Joy Boy. I loved that girl.
I loved her.
Please.
She was my honey baby.
So I must beg you not to intrude these private and rather peculiar terms of endearment into what should be a serious discussion. Now, what did you do when you found her?
I examined her. And I covered her up. I put her in one of the refrigerators.
Well, what have you come to me for, then?
It's your fault. You gotta do something.
I should point out that you are the man publicly engaged to her.
She was mine.
Don't say it, Joy Boy. Don't say it, or I shall turn you out.
Oh, Mom. Babe,
Joy Boy, control yourself and tell me plainly what is on your mind. All I can make out is a kind of litany of mamas and babies.
The dreamer.
I know that sounded like the dreamer. Is that what you're trying to say? Well, the dreamer knows?
Oh, no.
No, he doesn't know. You want me to break the news to him?
Oh.
You want me to keep him in ignorance?
Ruin.
Ah, now you think your career will suffer if the dreamer learns you have the poisoned corpse of our fiancé in the icebox. Right, and for your mother's sake, this is to be avoided? Right, and you are proposing that I help dispose of the body. Don't ask me how I worked that out from a couple of gulps.
You gotta help me. It was you, simple American kid. Gotta help. Gotta.
I don't like this repetition of gotta, Joy Boy. Tell me, has anyone else but you access to this icebox?
Oh.
Well, then, go away, Joy Boy. Go back to your work. I will give the matter my full attention. Come and see me back here after luncheon.
Oh, Amy, what poetry can save you now?
Come in. Sir Ambrose, what a surprise.
Barlow, I just passed a very distressed-looking gentleman.
Oh, yes, he's just suffered a loss.
Well, Sir Ambrose, it's been a long time. Haven't seen you down at the cricket club lately.
You haven't been down to the cricket club lately.
That would explain it.
Barlow, one of these has recently come into my hands.
Ah, you've received one of my cards.
I thought at first someone must be playing rather a poor kind of joke. Squadron leader, the Reverend Dennis Barlow. All non-sectarian services expeditiously conducted at competitive prices. Funerals a speciality, panegyrics in prose or poetry, confessions heard in strict confidence. This is genuine?
Perfectly.
Yes, I was rather afraid it might be.
The cards were sent out by an agency. I didn't suppose you would be particularly interested.
But I am particularly interested. It won't do, Barlow. Please allow me an old man's privilege of speaking freely. It just won't do. After all, you are an Englishman.
When I last looked.
I didn't like it when you started work here. Told you so frankly at the time. But at least this is more or less a private concern. But religion's quite another matter, especially over here. It's not like your pleasant country rectories at home.
Actually, Sir Ambrose, I was trying to raise my status.
Then chuck it, dear boy, before it's too late. My advice is, go home. That is your proper place.
Well, as a matter of fact, the call has grown fainter recently.
Excellent.
But there are certain practical difficulties. I've invested all my small savings in my theological studies.
I expected something of the kind. That is where the cricket club comes in. We had a committee meeting last night, and your name was mentioned. There was complete agreement. In a nutshell, we will send you home.
First class?
Tourist. I'm told it's jolly comfortable.
A drawing room on the train?
No drawing room.
Oh, well, I suppose that as a clergyman I should have to practice certain austerities.
Spoken like a man. I have the cheque with me. We signed it last night.
Hello, Barlow.
Ah, Joy Boy, you were lucky. I've just this minute finished off a porcupine. Now, have you regained control of yourself?
Yes.
Now, Joy Boy, you have two problems. Let me emphasize that. You have two problems. You are in possession of the corpse of your fiancé, and your career is threatened. First, you have to dispose of the body, and then you have to explain the disappearance. You're lucky that you came to me, for I am uniquely able to help you in these.
How?
I have here at my disposal an excellent crematorium. All we have to do is collect our loved one and fry her hair.
Oh, my God.
Now, to explain her sudden absence. Miss Thanatogenus has few acquaintances and no relations. She disappears on the eve of her wedding.
Now, it is known that I once favoured her with my attentions. What could be more plausible than that her natural good taste should have triumphed at the last moment and she should have eloped with me? All I need to do is disappear at the same time. No one will be curious beyond a cursory condemnation of our action as unethical, as California frankly doesn't give a damn what goes on beyond the mountains. You may receive some slightly unwelcome commiseration, and there the matter will end.
You think so?
I take it you have substantial savings.
I have some insurance.
What can you borrow on that? $5,000?
Oh, no, 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 nothing like that.
How much, then?
Maybe $1,000.
Good, draw it out, Joy Boy, we shall need it all, and cash this check at the same time. It may seem to you sentimental, but I wish to leave the United States in the same style as I arrived. Now, go to the travel agency and buy me a ticket for England, a drawing room to New York, and a Kanata single stateroom with bath from then on. Oh, and I'll be at your mortuary with a collecting van soon after dinner. I reckon she'll take about an hour and a half, Casimir Five. Do you want to stay?
I can't bear to think of her going out like this. She loved to see things done right.
I rather thought of conducting a service, my first and last non-sectarian office.
Oh, I couldn't bear that.
Very well. I will recite instead a little poem I have written for the occasion.
Oh.
Amy, thy beauty was to me like those Nicene barks of yore.
Hey, that's the phony poem.
Joy Boy, please remember where you are. The gently o'er a perfumed sea, the weary way-worn wanderer bore to his own native shore.
Oh.
It's remarkably apposite, eh, Joy Boy? Oh, well.
Dennis? Was that a customer?
Yes, Mr. Schultz, I'm just burning his little pet now.
Ah, good. Hey, don't forget to write the message for the anniversary card.
I'm just doing that now. Your little Amy is thinking of you and wagging her tail in heaven tonight.
Friends, you've been listening to The Loved One by Evelyn Waugh, adapted for radio by Bill Matthews. I truly want a heartfelt thanks to go out to many, many people, including Miranda Richardson, who appeared as Amy Thanatogenes, Rupert Graves as Dennis Barlow, Donald Pickering as Sir Ambrose Abercrombie, Richard Griffiths as Mr. Joyboy, Mike McShane as Mr. Slump, Graham Hoadley as Mr. Schultz, Elaine Ice Cameron as Mrs. Joyboy, Garrick Hagen as the Reverend Bartholomew, Sue Broomfield as Rhoda, and David Bannerman as the radio announcer and the drunk. The Loved One was produced by Lissa Evans. Amen.